You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio. Welcome to the Dan Patrick Show.
Fade away in the lane, and it's good for Kyrie Irving.
How he scores over these big guys, I can't figure it out.
James Harden.
Harden, step back on the left wing, a three on the way, and it's good for James Harden.
James Harden is the best offensive player I've ever seen with today's rules.
Kevin Durant is a matchup nightmare. There's no answer for him.
Are the Nets the team to beat, clearly?
In the East, they are, no question. You know, what's scary about the Nets right now is that they've figured out a way to be competent defensively. Look, they don't need to be a top 10 defensive team to be a champion. They just need to be, like, you know, better than, like, the 28th or 29th that they were in the first couple of weeks after the trade. They're the team to beat in the Eastern Conference, no question. They have proven on this recent trip that they're better than capable.
Broadcasting from the Mercedes Man Cave, this is Dan Patrick.
Welcome to the program. It's hour one on this Tuesday, Dan and the Danettes. Dan Patrick Show. Glad you're part of the program. You're watching, emailing, tweeting, listening, all the above. Stay a while if you can. Make sure you sign up for the Dan Patrick Show newsletter. We've got some great things coming your way. DanPatrick.com. Enter your email address in the box that slides out in the bottom right corner, and Mario will make sure you get that email. That wraps up, summarizes the show. Every day it comes out, it's 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at dp-show. Got some football news. Lakers have lost 3 in a row. Panic starting to set in. LeBron playing too many minutes. We'll talk about that coming up. The Suns have won 9 of 10, quietly won 9 of 10. We'll talk to Sean Salisbury, our good buddy from Houston. He'll join us coming up. Michael Silver, NFL Network, had some news about Russell Wilson that at least 10 teams have reached out to the Seahawks to inquire about the availability of Russell Wilson. Seahawks haven't said anything. You know, the Texans have said, we're not trading Deshaun Watson. Seattle hasn't said anything, and they probably feel like, well, no, he's our quarterback. There's no reason to, you know, basically say something about this. And this started with the interview that he did with me a couple of weeks ago when he had been named the NFL Man of the Year. And he was at the Super Bowl, and he's there with the commissioner. He's won Brady at age 43, win a Super Bowl, be able to build a roster around him. And Russ probably came back on that plane flight with Sierra and said, what am I doing? Tom gets to go to Tampa and win a Super Bowl, and look at what's happening to me in Seattle. I get sacked 48 times per season. And then he said what he said on our show. Then we had a source telling us that this is something that is not sustainable, this relationship, if it continues. And is Russell Wilson on the market? Quietly on the market. We'll talk to Michael Silver from the NFL Network. He'll join us coming up as well. Also, the situation with Dak Prescott. As you know, I don't troll you. I don't do the Cowboys just to do the Cowboys because of their fan base. If I have something I think is important, then we discuss it. Dak Prescott, this situation is starting to be more awkward. The injury certainly exacerbated that, but it just feels like it's getting stranger. Do they franchise him? By the way, it's Happy Franchise Tag Day. I don't know how you celebrate, but we party like rock stars here on Happy Franchise Tag Day. But with Dak Prescott, does he get franchised? And then if he gets franchised again, the amount of money that they would spend in 2 years on Dak Prescott is going to be probably upwards of $85 million. Jerry Jones probably has more money in his seat cushions than I have, but I think he made a big mistake with Dak Prescott. They could have had him for a bargain a couple of years ago. What would be considered a bargain at that position? Factor in that if he gets franchised, I think it's around $35 million that he makes. It's the top five salaries at that position. Then the next year, buckle your Hans device, $50 million for Dak Prescott. Once again, Jerry Jones, brilliant businessman, but I think that they misplayed their hand on Dak Prescott. Now, do I think he's a great quarterback? No. Do I think he's a very good quarterback for that team? Yes, I do. But if I'm the Cowboys, then I don't offer him a long-term deal. Let me see what he does. He's going to bet on him, and I'll bet on us. Coming back from an injury, if you don't make the playoffs next year, then you move on from Dak Prescott. But would I want him as my quarterback? Yes, I would. At that age, but I don't know the injury and coming back from the injury. But, you know, as you move forward, you could have had Dak Prescott at a reasonable price. Not anymore. And if you let him bet on himself with a franchise tag and he has an unbelievable year and you do well, now all of a sudden he's going to be making an average of $40 million or more per year. Happy franchise tag day. Yes, Paulie.
I might disagree a little bit on the Dak Prescott. If Jerry Jones may have stumbled into an out with Dak Prescott. If they didn't make the playoffs in 2019, even though Dak had a great season, I think he had 5,000 yards and 30 touchdowns, they were 8-8. If somehow he comes back and is good and they don't make the playoffs this year, they can easily get out from his contract with a franchise tag.
Yeah.
And they don't spend, you know, it's not fair to compare it to Carson Wentz because Dak's playing much better.
But I can't give Jerry credit for accidentally stumbling into this.
Right. You're right that if they could have got him for a lot less a year and a half ago.
Yeah, because then now you have to go out and do you trade for somebody? Who are you bringing in? You're drafting somebody. Like the Cowboys are ready to win now. And you're not going to bring in a rookie. And are you going to trade for somebody or sign somebody? And then what do they cost you? I mean, Jerry wants to expedite this to get another Super Bowl. Desperately. Jerry's not a kid anymore. He desperately wants to get one more Super Bowl at least. And Dak Prescott, when he's healthy and all the weapons, all the money that they've spent. I mean, Jerry's 78 years old. At least parts of him are.
Oh. Wow. Chin down.
No, he's young at heart. What are you guys talking about?
I meant chin down.
Young at heart.
Whoa. Now he's really not coming on the show.
He's never coming on the show. He's not Dan Patrick's not a leader, is what he's not. Dak's a leader. But, we'll find out if Dak is their quarterback of the future. Yes, McLovin.
Doesn't it feel like they have a much bigger problem that has nothing to do with Dak? Like, they couldn't tackle or block. Like, they played with no heart last year.
Those are essential ingredients for a team to be a good team, you know, blocking and tackling.
They have so much talent, but what's missing?
They're overrated because they're Cowboys. They're overrated. Who's a truly great player on that team?
Tyron Smith.
Didn't play last year.
Yeah, that killed them.
I mean,
the
truly,
other guard, Zach Martin?
Didn't play. Like, wasn't he injured as well?
Yeah, he was definitely out.
Okay, who is truly great on the Cowboys? Exactly. Because they're the Cowboys and they're talked about all the time. Remember that defense? Remember Aldon Smith? I don't know if I heard Aldon Smith's name after week 4. But, oh, this defense. Oh, Sean Lee when he's healthy. He never healthy. Leighton Vander Esch.
Well, that's the guy. Everyone was saying he's the next superstar.
Yeah, it's because he's on the Cowboys.
The next Sean Lee.
Jalen Smith, too.
I love the Jalen Smith story. He's a good player. They don't have any great players. You don't have a great coach. You don't have a great GM.
What about all those receivers? Some of them have to be great.
Who is great? You know what they have? The Cowboys have a great Jumbotron. They have the best Jumbotron.
How about Zeke?
No! Not great.
He was at one point.
But that's not what I'm asking. Who is great now with the Cowboys? They're trying to win now. Not 4 years ago when we went, God, Zeke is great.
I looked at it. They have 17 guys who've been to the Pro Bowl. 17. But not recently, all of them.
I know. The Cowboys have a decision to make with Dak Prescott. And no matter what happens, it's going to be a topic. They should have. They shouldn't have. That is going to be a conversation because it brings about clicks. I just want something resolved here. I mean, I truly like Dak Prescott. When we've met him, I truly liked him. I don't know if he's a great quarterback. I think he can be a good, sometimes very good quarterback. But on that team, we have great expectations. Not good expectations. It's great expectations. And are you going to franchise him? You're going to let him bet on himself? And if you do, what's it going to cost you down the road? Or maybe you walk away from Dak Prescott through all of this. Then you walk away from him. Yes, McLovin.
We all fell in love with him when he did the self handshake when you couldn't you were at your back third or something. Do you remember that?
Yes. I was saying goodbye, and we were throwing the ball outside the New York studio, and then I turned my back, and then he had his hand out to shake my hand, and then he just shook his own hand.
Completed the process.
Yeah.
I like so that. Beyond awkward.
Thank you, Todd. This program is brought to you by Built Bar, 16 grams of protein, low-cal, low-carb, but man, it tastes great. Tastes better than a candy bar. Go to BuiltBar.com, promo code DP20 for 20% off your first order. All right, 877-3DP-SHOW. We'll come up with a poll question. Is that right, McLovin?
Yeah, I actually have a poll question off our morning meeting that I don't know how to word.
Okay.
Use you throughout...
Okay, wait a minute.
Okay.
We have a morning meeting that usually starts at around 8 Eastern, ends around 8:30. And we just sit around and we chit-chat about a variety of things. We mostly just sit around. We listen to Pauly, and Pauly will run down everything that we're going to be discussing on the show. So what is the item that we chit-chatted about that you want to use as a poll question?
So who would you rather have, Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson? But you have to word it in a way that weights the potential trades for the two of them.
Well, you'd almost have to say, would you be willing to give up 4 first rounds for Deshaun Watson and 3 for Russell Wilson? Because Russ is going to turn 32 in November. Deshaun is 25. And you know, I started to think about this because it used to be you could end your career, start your career, and end your career. And is Russ 33 in November, Paulie?
Checking his last birthday party, I did not get invited to. Yeah, he turns 33 in November. Yeah. He's like 8 years older than Deshaun.
Yeah. We know players now won't, you know, finish their careers with the team that they were drafted by. And certain players have a connection to a team where... Like Brady with the Patriots, Peyton with the Colts, where you just, J.J. Watt with the Texans, Aaron Rodgers with the Packers. Like, you can't envision them playing for somebody else. And Russell Wilson falls into that category. He's been the face of the Seahawks for quite some time. And, you know, now you have this conversation, if it's real or not, that Russ could be traded, or at least teams are interested in trading for him. You know, he's a Hall of Famer. But, man, it feels like those 2 Super Bowl appearances are a long, long time ago. Lost in the first round of the playoffs, and then uncharacteristically raised questions about the rosters when he joined us on the show. And then you start to think, are the Seahawks a partial rebuild? Are they reloading? They're sort of in limbo because we know the Rams. Rams are all in. The Niners are going to be healthy next year. I don't know what they're doing with Jimmy Garoppolo, but they're going to be healthy next year and probably would be considered a better team than Seattle. That's in their own division. We know Arizona can be dangerous there. But, you know, the NFL is moving so fast right now that I don't think you can count out any move. Even ones we thought would never happen, like Russell Wilson playing for somebody else. Would I want Russ at age 33 and I give up 3 first-round picks? I would not. Would I want Deshaun Watson and give up 4 first-round picks? I would. Because I'm going to bet on youth in this situation. Russ relies on his legs. He is going to be sacked more than any other quarterback in the history of the sport when it's all said and done. And I think just sheer attrition with that. We love Russ. We think he's great. He's a Hall of Famer. But if I can get Deshaun Watson at age 25, then I would do that. I have no problem giving up players for Deshaun Watson because you have to have your quarterback. If I'm Carolina, now here's the other thing. Deshaun Watson has a no-trade clause. I don't know if Russ has a no-trade clause. We should try to figure that out. But Deshaun Watson, do you want to go to a team that is depleted to get you? I go back to Carmelo Anthony. Remember Melo wanted out of Denver? But he wanted to get signed to a long-term contract and then traded. He goes to the Knicks, and then the Knicks got rid of their good players. And Melo goes to the Knicks, and he's like, wait, where is everybody? Like, Melo, you wanted to get traded, and this is what happened. know, they had to give up people because you're a Hall of Famer. Do I want Russell Wilson at age 33? Not giving up that much. But with Deshaun Watson, I would. And if I'm Carolina and I have to give up Christian McCaffrey, and does Deshaun Watson go in there and go, I could have stayed in Houston and had the same kind of team here. Or I go to the Jets. They got to give up second pick overall, Sam Darnold, few other players, few other picks. And you get there and you go, man, I got to be the savior here. And that's the other curiosity that I have. You may want out of a place, but where are you going to when you get there? And what are the expectations? Like Deshaun Watson's expectation level is going to be through the roof if he goes to Miami or Carolina, San Francisco. And if Russ would want out of Seattle, where he goes, okay, you got out. Is this line any better than what you have in Seattle? Yeah, Paulie.
A couple of things with Russell Wilson. After next season, there's an out for both of them. So if you're going to trade him, you would have to do it now. He could leave or they could let him go. They owe him, I think, $33 million next year. So based off that logic, if you think that 32 and a lot of mileage, the Seahawks should trade him if they got an offer for.
I don't think Russ is with the team after next season.
But according to the contract, this may be the time to trade.
Yes, but I truly understand that. You know, this is business now. If I'm Seattle, do I want to sign up Russ? And what's he going to cost me at age 33 with a new contract?
If they kick in the option, that would keep him in 2022 and 2023 at $37 million and $40
million. Okay, and that's a reasonable price for Russell Wilson. So maybe the next 2 years would be it in Seattle. Because then I don't want to sign him for, you know, the contract that's going to be $50 million. Yeah, McLevin.
By the way, he does have a no trade.
Okay.
Yeah, I just Googled it.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, Paul.
The following quote was said 2 minutes ago on this side of the glass. Can you tell me who said it?
Okay.
Deshaun Watson will never live up to a trade if someone pays 4 first-round picks for him. Back to you, Dan.
Seton O'Connor.
Hot, 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 there's hot, no hot. Way Deshaun Watson's ever going to be this good. It's just right now he's like the most talented quarterback this league has ever seen since the last three guys we just said that to. And he's great. He's really good. I don't have very much to even base this on other than just seeing how hype usually plays out. But all of a sudden it's going to be like, oh yeah, he's going to go to a new team. You're going to sell the whole farm for him. And like, all right, here's your 4 first-round draft choices. And then he's going to be basically 28 and 31 there, too. And I'm like, okay.
He's 25, though. He's 25. I just don't know how much better the team is going to be that he's going to go to. Because if you say you're going to the Jets, all right, they're not better than the Texans. If he goes to the Dolphins, then they are better than the Texans. Carolina, they're not better than the Texans. They're probably going to be the same, if not a slightly worse, because they have to give up all of this capital to get him. Yeah, see.
And it's kind of like, it's not really a statement on him necessarily as a player, but the hype going into whatever this move is going to be is almost an instant failure unless they win the Super Bowl next year. Other than that, it's a huge failure.
Yes, McLovin.
I'll do a shower shame bet against Seton on this. I'll bet if he goes to either Carolina or Miami, he's in a conference title game in 4 years. I'm sure of it. He's, first of all, he's legit, but second of all, Carolina's going to be great.
How do you know they're going to be great?
Because Matt Rule's the man. Like, what are they giving up? Christian McCaffrey? They die to get out of that contract.
Didn't you have a shower of shame on Deshaun Watson before?
Yes,
that he was
going to
be the number one pick overall?
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
But I think those are better situations than Houston. Because the coaches.
Well, I like what Carolina has. Their owner's aggressive. Matt Rule, I think, has a chance to be a very, very good coach in this league. But you're going to give up all your draft picks, and if you give up Christian McCaffrey, like, what are you going to have there?
But are draft picks, I hate to say this, are draft picks the same as they used to be? Is the NFL going to become the NBA where nobody cares about first-round picks? Like, the Eagles... They keep blowing their draft picks anyway.
Paulie, would you check? I believe this is correct, but I've had some people who have brought this to my attention. When Russell Wilson was with us a couple of weeks ago, He always ends every interview with "Go Hawks." Always. Now, I have some, you know, very observant listeners and viewers that said they didn't think Russ said "Go Hawks."
That's a strong accusation, and it's not going to fly on my watch, Dan, because Russell Wilson, as he was ending the thing, you said goodbye to him, and our board op brought him down, and he went, "Go Hawks." You just hear "Go Hawks" in the background. We will get the sound.
Yeah, get the sound just so I can clear this up, because you have some people who are starting to look at this.
As a journalist, I want to make sure.
Yes, he.
Those are people just looking for clicks, Dan.
Yeah, they are.
They're just deliberately putting out false information to get themselves clicks.
To be fair, he did suggest that he could be traded and he would be on the open market and he's critiqued his team. But he did also say "Go Hawks."
Okay.
But we will confirm it next segment.
Okay. All right. 21 after the hour. So are we going to go with the Deshaun Watson? Why are you so upset?
I just get a little defensive.
Russ needs blockers. He doesn't need defenders.
That I can't help with. That I cannot help with. Ship JJ out there and tell him to play O-line.
McLevin, are we going with...
Yeah, would you rather have Deshaun Watson... Would you rather trade for Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson? And it's implied that you have to give up a little more for Watson.
Yeah. All right, let's see. Give it a go.
I have another would you rather QB that I'll save.
Then we'll wait. Wait till after the break. Is that okay?
It's a good one.
All right. Thank you. 21 after the hour, just getting started here on this Tuesday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Paulie pulled me aside yesterday and he goes, I had a Built Bar. And I said, good. He goes, no, I just want to let you know I had a Built Bar yesterday. And I go, okay. Like, why were you telling my confession?
Because I haven't had many of them, you know, because Fritzy grabs them all. German chocolate cake Built Bar. It was freaking fantastic. German chocolate cake. Usually it's like, you know, whatever.
You know, there's a lot of flavors that I don't know they have because I don't get there in time when we get the Built Bar.
Well, there's carrot cake and there's a raspberry and there's a chocolate mint. There's a double chocolate.
Yeah, Todd knows. Yes, Seton.
Okay, if we're just being full transparency, I have one almost every single day. Usually around 11 o'clock. Eastern Standard Time. So, yeah, I go through. I have one, just about one every day.
Like a Built Bar brunch.
And it allows you to, that's your lunch. You know, like you can.
Right.
Okay. All right. BuiltBar.com. They've got, is it 18 or 16 flavors? I'm not sure because I don't get to have, you know, that many.
I'll have to check the drawer in my kitchen when
Thank
I get
you.
Home. I
Thank
think
you,
it was 18.
So. There's mint brownie. There's cookies and cream, coconut. And these are protein bars. Go to BuiltBar.com, promo code DP20, 20% off. That's BuiltBar.com, enter the promo code DP20. And let me know what kind of flavors they have. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. McLovin, you want to give me the other poll question before we get to Sean Salisbury?
Okay, it's another would you rather.
Oh, okay.
A lot of Cam Newton chatter out there. If you had to trade for one quarterback, would it be Cam Newton or Sam Darnold?
Sam Darnold.
Yeah, younger?
Yeah, I don't know what Cam Newton is anymore. Now, maybe I don't know what Sam Darnold is going to be, but I would rather take a risk on that. I mean, give me youth here. And I think Sam Darnold, if he went to another team, then, you know, you might see what we saw at USC. Did we get the audio on Russell Wilson when the last time he was on? Did he end the interview with "Go Hawks"?
Now, Dan, would that be slander or libel? Was it written what was said about Russ? Was it verbal? Was it audio?
I just want to know if he said "Go Hawks," because if he didn't, then maybe that's the breadcrumbs here that we need to follow that Russ wants out of Seattle.
Here is the end of his appearance a couple weeks ago.
Okay. Hey, good to talk to you. Have a good off season, and we'll stay in touch and tell your wife I said hello.
Okay, boss. I'll good see you, man. McLovin, see you later, bud.
Whoa, all right. You imagine, could Russ have started for Dartmouth? Okay, we cut him off. So he did say "Go Hawks." Okay. You feel better, Paulie?
I never was worried or concerned.
Okay.
But America feels better, I think.
Do you think Russell Wilson Jr. III ends his career in Seattle?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Yeah, I don't either. All right, let's bring in our favorite Sean Salisbury, morning host of the Sean Salisbury Show on Sports Talk 790 in Houston. Sean, what do you make of this chatter, as they like to say, that Russell Wilson is maybe available or on the market?
Dan, first of all, great to be on with you. If anybody talked about trading for me, it would have been for an apple and a roadmap. You know what I mean? Now we got 3 and 4 and 5 first rounders. It's amazing. Then you start to think about head coaches and quarterbacks and how they're tied to it. And when that starts to go sour, Carson Wentz, Doug Peterson, because they're tied together. When you're winning, the head coach, quarterback, everything's great, right? We're kicking butt. Everything's good. Start to go south and everybody's like, well, they're tied. So the coach starts to say, what's wrong with my quarterback? We saw it in the Rams with Goff and McVay, and now, and in Philly, and possibly here, but not because the coach here in Houston, but with this Russ Wilson, Pete Carroll thing, we've heard talk of a little bit of strife, and, you know, and when that happens, you start to wonder. Three first, I think they'd be nuts, Dan. There's not a guy, I mean, when you talk about the three best, not named Mahomes in a league that you get assets for today, Rodgers, Watson, Wilson, why would you trade the core of your franchise? I mean, he's the guy that makes them go. Now, they need some help. He's obviously can't get him to a Super Bowl without some good defense and the rest of it, but I wouldn't even entertain it. That being said, we get guys now that are a little unhappy and things aren't going well. If somebody called me up, or if somebody said that Russ Wilson could be had for 3 number ones, and like, let's say Minnesota or New England wanted him, offered 3, if I was that team and I knew that they would give him away for 3 ones, I'd crawl 10 miles over broken glass for that. I would. I think it's absurd why we're all this quarterback talk in the league that we want to give away the guy that you got to go find anyway. I Seattle would be absolutely nuts. Now, if they're in a whole rebuilding phase, fine. You're not going to find a guy on the market right now that you're going to get that's going to give you anywhere near the chance Russ Wilson does.
Now, the Texans have said that Deshaun Watson's not available. The Seahawks haven't said anything about Russell Wilson.
Right.
But it feels like Deshaun Watson's going to be traded, and I don't think Russ is going to be traded by Seattle. What is, if they're not taking offers, you know, it's weird that it's public that they're not taking offers. Like, how did it become public that they're not taking offers unless they want to continue to get offers?
Right. Dad, right. And nothing's negotiable, right? Sure it isn't. Right. All of a sudden somebody calls and say, hey, how about 5 first rounders and a couple starters? Well, okay. It just all of a sudden became, we're taking phone calls. Dan, it's going to be impossible for them while they may not be now. You know darn well when they're sitting in a room, Casario and the guy who apparently has all power in Jack Easterby and Cal McNair, that they're saying we may not be taking calls, but we got to start to consider that option. Because while I would not trade him, if I was a GM there, we would never been in this situation. And I would exhaust every opportunity, which they're not doing, to find out, Deshaun, let me hear you. What is your concern about this? Can it be fixed? And then I'd ask him again, can it be fixed? And until the point where I wore out the can it be fixed, then yes, you have to field calls. And Dan, that's going to become more urgent than not. Why? Because you've got to start to field those calls if you're going to trade him and you're not going to play line in the sand hardball before the draft, because you want to go draft the guys you want, right? With those assets that the Jets or the Dolphins are going to give you. So while they may not be fielding calls, I'll guarantee you they're keeping a journal. This is my opinion of, okay, we know what's out there. So while they may not be now, it doesn't say they're never going to. And I still yet to hear anybody pound the desk saying, don't call us. Watson's not available.
Do you think he's traded? Is he traded before the start of the season?
I would have said, now for me, I wouldn't do it. Dan, the more I think about this and the more that the length continues to lengthen out and there's no conversation, and I don't know if Cully can get to him or Nick Casario. I think this is deeper with the Easterby and Cal McNair thing. And as long as they're there, I don't think Watson's coming back. Now, I think you're nuts to trade him. But, Dan, there's going to come a point, a breaking point, where the fracture turns into shattered glass. And I think you're going to have to. And if Deshaun just says he's not going to do it, I don't know if you can take the risk of wait until August to say, hey, we'll challenge him on this. And if somebody's going to offer you 4 ones and 3 players, you obviously have to consider it. And then that team's going to have to feel the punch to the gut so bad that their franchise is gutted and they're in a rebuilding process, and it's going to take them 3 or 4 years to win, even with Watson.
I wondered about this, and I don't have confirmation. I tried to find it out last night, that the Bears weren't in on Carson Wentz. They didn't even make an offer, reportedly. They need a quarterback. The Bears, to me, are a sneaky destination for Deshaun Watson. I know we talk about Carolina and we throw out the Jets, and if I'm the Bears, you missed him once, don't miss him again.
and you got a chance to clean up after Mitchell Trubisky, and you get the guy that you want or you should have taken in the beginning. And look, I don't have anything that would tell me this other than logic, and they did not make an offer for Carson Wentz.
And Watson's better than Carson Wentz, Dan. And common sense, you're right. You don't have any insight on this, but common sense would say that's insight enough, right? This would be the most gifted quarterback, and I couldn't agree with you more, in Chicago's history. And it's not just based on potential. There's production with Watson as well, and he's 25, and you got him under contract for the next handful of years. There is no doubt, Dan. And here's what's interesting about the situation, what Watson brings. It instantly makes them not only a viable threat in their division, but a viable threat all across the league and in the NFC. Because now you got a guy who doesn't have to load everybody on his back every single week and carry the defense that can get off the field. And you're right. When you missed out on a guy like this, you say, okay, and I'm with the Sean McVay approach, Dan. I don't care about winning the trades. I care about – now, listen, am I sure that the 18th or 19th or 24th or 15th pick of the draft is going to give me what Watson is? No, I'm not. And the one thing, what are we always saying about the Bears? I'm talking about every year. Can we get a quarterback? Do I need to go down the list of them? Can we get a quarterback? We got this. And they've never had it. So if you've never had it, why don't you go do one thing that gives you a chance to get it? If you think you can get Watson, make them an offer they can't refuse and give you the one thing you haven't had in decades. Now, you've won a Super Bowl with Mac, but great defense. All these things. And this guy, trust me, is not going to let you down as a quarterback. He's just not. And if the Chicago Bears were wise, they would actually fly, beat down the door at Kirby here in Houston and try to beg them to listen to an offer. There's no doubt it's a sneaky, and maybe Pittsburgh's sneaky, depending on the Ben Roethlisberger dead cap money. But if you're Deshaun Watson, I would think you'd want to be traded to a winner that gives you a chance to win immediately, as opposed to have to go and rebuild in 5 years from now, maybe not be in a Super Bowl because you're playing for the Jets. Chicago is a sneaky one to me, Dan, and shouldn't be sneaky. It should be about as subtle as a punch to the face if you're the Bears.
Talking to Sean Salisbury, former NFL quarterback, host of the Sean Salisbury Show in Houston. The Dak Prescott situation, you know, it's franchise tag day, at least the start of this here. And I wonder if Jerry Jones is going to roll the dice again and say, let me see what you got for one more year. You're coming back from, you know, the ankle injury, and I can pay you decent money. And then we can find out if we want to do a long-term contract or franchise you again after that. But give me the logic with the Cowboys here with Dak Prescott.
There is none, in my opinion. And I love Jerry Jones, Dan. But this would have already been done. Listen, he's been until this year, and he's going to come back from this injury just fine. Dak will. I promise you. What more do you need to see? You wanted stats. He gave you stats. I loved him when he came out. I thought he was, I think I had him as the second best player in at that position in the draft. And I think he fits off the field. He can make every throw. He's accurate. He's tough. His durability was beautiful until unfortunate injury this year. Dan, I would sign him. I wouldn't even mess with this because I always say this. I got a guy I believe is a franchise quarterback. What's the other option? What's the other option? Okay, I like Andy Dalton, but stop. I mean, what's the option? You want to go out? Well, Sam Darnold may end up being a star in this league. Well, I have that guy. Once again, I just don't understand. You work as a general manager, a coach, and a front office, or Jerry Jones, your whole career to find that guy. He got one with Troy Aikman. If you get a second one, and Romo was a good player too. Not everybody can be the Packers or the 49ers with those guys. You're lucky if you get one of them. And I just don't understand what you're looking for. The grass isn't greener. I got news for you. If Dak Prescott's back and playing on that team, they're a playoff team, and Dak Prescott is a top 10, top 12 quarterback in this league, top 10. I would pay him. I wouldn't even mess with it.
But I think Jerry Jones, I think he stumbled into something.
He loves
Sean.
The game.
No, I think Jerry Jones stumbled into something. Because let's say Dak comes back. He's not great. I haven't given him that long-term contract. They go 7-9. They don't make the playoffs. They change their coach. You know, Jerry, this wasn't by design.
Right.
Because, you know, they could have done this 2 years ago and probably got him at a bargain. But this is where we are right now. And Jerry Jones may go, I didn't plan on this, but if Dak's not Dak and we're not great, then I don't have to pay him and I'm going to get a new coach in here and, you know, we'll start it again.
What if he is great, Dan? You know what? He ends up may. If he, let's say he's great and they go 10-6 and
but then
and
you get pay him. NFC. But you pay
right,
him.
And then you pay him between Watson and Mahomes money, right?
Yeah, he's going to get $45 million a
right,
year,
right? And guaranteed like 80% of it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So he and you're taking the risk like they all do, and Jerry's done that plenty of times. But Dan, I'm just thinking for the stability of a franchise and for what you want going forward, and a guy who's been a model citizen, players love him, people love him, he's a competitor, he's tough. And people say, well, he's not a numbers guy. Well, I saw him throw for, what, 5,000 yards? This is a really, really good player. And I always say, if this isn't one, what's my option? You want Cam Newton instead of Dak Prescott?
No.
I respect Cam, but no, I don't. And I heard you guys talk about Darnold over Prescott. No. Dak Prescott is that guy. And he may not be Mahomes. We always want to compare everybody to Mahomes. How many is there? It's Mahomes. Okay, so stop it. The rest of them are guys that are falling into place in the Watson and the Rodgers. And if you can get that elite player who's a top seven, top eight player, you don't let him go, especially at the hardest position to find that guy and that you've worked your whole life to get him. I love Dak Prescott, and I think the Dallas Cowboys would be out of their friggin' minds if they don't sign him to a long-term deal. And if they want to play with fire, watch him go throw for 5,000 yards and win 10 or 11 games, and then he's going to go crack them for about $45 million.
Can Cam Newton still be a starter?
I think he can with a team, Dan, that doesn't have a solid starter and got to have a little luck, meaning, you know, fully healthy, a place where there's a quarterback that's not stable. He's not going in and going to beat out Carson Wentz. He's not going to go beat out whoever, if it's Zach Wilson or somebody in New York or
Can
Rogers.
You have him as a backup?
That all depends on him. It all depends on where he at as a maturity in the league. Can he accept when that opportunity presents itself that I'll be ready to take advantage of it? Or do you have to roll him in and say, it's your job until you lose it or keep it? I would think that that's probably the latter is the one that you'd go. You'd say, well, if it's even, we'll start Cam Newton. The key is at what point in his career, with his body being up in a tremendous career, does he get to the point, Dan, where he says, I can accept this, but I'm going to stay ready to be the starter. If you are going to start him, it's a one-year contract on a team that's probably not very good, and you're going to give him one more chance to say, go light it up and prove what you got for 16 games. I think he's still a viable option, but I don't think he's a franchise guy that's going to make a huge difference in your franchise as a starter.
Did you ever root for the starter to get injured when you were on the sidelines as the backup?
No, Dan, but I can tell you this, and it's in people that aren't transparent about this. I was fortunate that I was in rooms with great guys and great players like Wade and Jim McMahon and Warren Moon and Rich Gannon, that group, wherever I was. Because you love – there's nothing worse than hating the guy that you're competing. You're like, I hate this guy. You drop back at practice. Now, McMahon never practiced. He would just make me do all the training camp and then knew he was going to start. He'd laugh. He'd be sweats on. He'd be laughing and say, hey, kid, get out there. My shoulder's a little sore. Yeah, from tilting to 12 ounces, you clown. But I loved him for it. But, Dan, I don't think you ever wished it, but it's human nature to say, you know, I'd love us to win this game. But, man, if his shoulder had a little tendonitis or if he threw three picks and we still won, that'd be pretty cool. But, no, you don't root for that because you don't want that guy doing that to you. But human nature and competition says, well, it'd be kind of nice to, you know, nothing serious, but man, if that turf toe kicked in for 2 weeks where I could go there and play.
Did you ever not want to go into a game?
Let's see. Yes, I'll tell you a story. We're playing Cleveland Browns. It's my second year in the league. I'm with the Colts. We had won the division. We're at the Mistake by the Lake, Dan. It's freezing. I'm telling you, I'm freezing. It's like 0 degrees. I got that big jacket on with a hoodie, and I'm thinking it's my second year in the league. I hadn't played much. I'm like, and Jack Trudeau, who's a good player, was in. I get on with Greg Briner, our quarterback coach. I get on the headset with him. I say, we're getting our butt handed to us by Cleveland in a playoff game, first round. And you're going to love this. I'll try to go quick. I know you got a break. And so I'm sitting there, and it's about 4 or 5 minutes to go in the game. And Greg Bryan said, man, Bryan's, I don't want to go in this game, man. We're getting our butt kicked. It's too cold. It'd take me an hour. And then you get like 4 warm-up tosses. No sooner do I say that, Jack Trudeau gets destroyed in the pocket. So I got to go in. I got my hair. I got my nice mullet working for TV. I warm up like 5 throws. I'm 24, 25 years old, 23. So, I'm ready to go. I go out there. We hit a few throws. And then I call an audible like an idiot at the line of scrimmage. And Billy Brooks couldn't hear it. I throw a curl route. He runs a corner. Frank Minifield picks it off, Dan. Starts working his way down. And Don Crickey and Bob Trumpy are on the call. And I'm going to tell you why I say that. So Minifield's working his way down. Minnie's about 5'7 and 145 pounds dripping wet and a Pro Bowl stud. So I'm thinking to myself, literally, as I'm working there, somebody tackle him. Somebody tackle him. At about the 3-yard line, nobody's tackled his ass, and I'm the one who's got to jump in there. So what's he do? I'm standing straight up. He puts his helmet between my 1 and 3, drives me into the end zone, and cabbage patches over me, and they score again. So I got to come back out for the next series. So the day later, I'm back in Indianapolis. Season's over. I'm walking through the mall. I go into a Foot Locker to get Christmas gifts to take home. On that TV, you know, on Foot Locker, they used to run highlights. And Dan, I promise you, I walk in there and I hear Bob Trumpy saying, "Oh, it's intercepted, Salisbury." I mean, they're talking. The second I walk in, it shows me getting cabbage patched on by Frank Minifield. So right then and there. So, yes, Dan, at that point in time, I said, hell no.
Paulie, you got Sean's stats in that Browns game?
Yeah, he was 1 for 6 with 15 yards and a pick.
Yes, yes. And we hit one. I missed one down the middle on a cold to Albert Bentley. And I didn't thaw out till then. And then you go into Cleveland locker room and the shower water's up to your thigh, 3 guys to 1 locker. You know, it was the old school one and I loved it. But yeah, Dan, it was one of those where I'm like, I knew going in that this isn't where I wanted to be. And then I'll be damned if I'm not walking through the mall and all Bob Trumpy and Don Crickey are telling me, and that's the one play we see. And I'm like, I'm done. I'm out. Let me out of all of it. So yeah, but I never rooted for a guy to get hurt. You usually root for your partner, but you didn't have a problem if every now and then you could get in the third quarter to make a few throws, unless it's a playoff game against Cleveland where you throw a pick and Don Crickey tells you about it and Bob Trumpy. That was a bad day, Dan.
Thank you, bud.
I appreciate it. Thanks for letting me extend it. Good to talk to you.
Sean Salisbury. I feel like I'm a therapist sometimes. I'll just let it out. Host of the Sean Salisbury Show on Sports Talk 790 in Houston. Take a break. Play of the Day is up next here on the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Oh, my God.
The play. The play is called play. Of the day.
Runner left side, got it!
Check this out.
Ingles, guarded by Biombo. Jabs with his left foot. Now drives. Help comes. Cross court to Donovan for the franchise record. Got it. 27 threes tonight for the Utah Jazz.
That's courtesy of the Jazz Radio Network, KZNS. 27 three-pointers made in the win over the Hornets. Jazz have the best record in the NBA. They've won 10 of their last 11. Got the Lakers coming up. But the NBA record is 29 three-pointers in a game. They had 19 three-pointers from the bench players. 3 different reserves made at least 5 three-pointers. They won 14 straight at home, 13 straight at home by double digits. That's second longest streak in NBA history. And the Jazz are on the pace to have the most three-pointers made per game in NBA history. Not that long ago. It was the Houston Rockets a couple of years ago. That's your play of the day. Play of the day brought to you by Built Bar, 16 grams of protein, low calories, low carbs, but it tastes great. It's a whole lot better than a candy bar, believe it or not. BuiltBar.com, promo code DP20, 20% off your first order. It wasn't long ago when you were talking about how boring the Jazz are, McLovin.
Oh, sorry. Were you talking about the Jazz? let me kick my feet up here. Which of those threes was the highlight play? Was it Joe Ingles?
Utah averaging 16.8 three-pointers made per game. The all-time record, the Rockets in 2018, made 16.1.
Joe Ingles was 7 for 10 from 3. I hope they go all the way because I'm going to keep this going.
You are Mr. Utah. You are Johnny Utah. Coming up. Russell Wilson went out of Seattle. Does Seattle want Russ out of Seattle? I have an update for you. And also Dak Prescott. Short term, long term, anybody? One more item in the first hour. It's M Drive. Get started every morning. You need to hit the ground running, and you need to do it the way I do it with M Drive, the supplement for guys who want to stay on top. You want to be energized. You can hear it in my voice. You can kind of see it in the bounce in my step, the smile, the twinkle in my eye. Your results may vary, but powerful ingredients backed by science help me get energized, stronger, leaner. And as an athlete, well, former athlete, you're competitive and you want to take that same competitive spirit to your job. I certainly do every day. It takes work. It takes drive. I want to be the best. And every day is the Super Bowl. You feel tired. You're gaining weight, sluggish, don't want to work out. Fight back. Try M-Drive for yourself, the everyday supplement for guys with drive. M-Drive. You can get it at Walgreens, Rite Aid, Vitamin Shoppe, or go to mdrivedan.com today. Get free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't let age beat you. Go to mdrivedan.com. Refind your prime with M-Drive.